Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, 907, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number to get in here. TJ's been waiting to get on the radio. Hey, TJ.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm going to piggyback off those OnlyFans guys, mm-hmm. The twins that play for the Hurricanes. The two twins, they're probably going straight to OnlyFans,
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm. I just know there's money. There's money in the business is all I can say. There is money in the business, and it's not for us.
No, it's not for us.
It's not for us. We don't make it.
Get Lance's opinion about Jim Trotter being not his contract renewal over pressing Goodell about the lack of diversity hiring. Mm-hmm. Then after that, he was like, let go.
Yeah, I don't know. I can tell you this. I don't know if one has to do with the other, just because I can tell you from working at the company, we have been cutting as a company for 4 years in a row. And I've had a lot of friends who had, you know, my friend Matt Money Smith, his contract wasn't renewed. Once it ran out. They already have from a Jim Trotter standpoint, I understand what he's saying, and I understand how people could say it looks like that, but I'm not sure that Jim Trotter, they, to be honest with you, so they've got all the insiders, right? So Jim writes kind of some feature pieces and things like that, but they have a lot of times it's just, they'll just end up going a little bit younger, and because it's pretty diverse. NFL makes a big, big deal about diversity hiring. Big deal. We see it across. We take diversity training. If you saw the layout of, you know, of the entirety of the offices and the positions, and specifically the positions of high influence, it's extremely diverse at the NFL. So I actually don't think one had to do with another, but I know what you're talking about. He pressed Roger at the Super Bowl again for the second year in a row. He pressed Roger Goodell on diversity and stuff in the newsroom and things like that. And it's really kind of an inside baseball thing. I don't know if a lot of people cared about that as a question for a commissioner necessarily, but his contract was not renewed. But I can just tell you this, every single one of us, every time our contract comes up, we're all very nervous because they have really made a lot of cuts to especially the NFL.com side, the digital side, which is what he's on. So I don't know that one had to do with the other, but I understand what you're saying is Jim Trotter may have, people are going to look at that like, oh, he spoke up and said something to the commissioner. Patrick Claibon, if you follow him, Patrick Claibon speaks up on a regular basis. He's also African-American, and he's, his contract is consistently renewed. So for one guy to not be in, the other guy who's constantly speaking up to have his contract constantly renewed, it's a little bit of an inconsistency if you want to find the agenda there. But I understand why some people might say that, since Jim Trotter specifically went at Roger Goodell. But also, if your whole brand becomes a lot of diversity hiring, like you have to branch out and make sure you still are covering the league from a league standpoint as well, which, you know, I know Jim, I honestly can't speak any more on it than that. I don't even know if I follow Jim Trotter on Twitter. I'm just familiar with, you know, some of the articles he's had.
910 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, 713-780-3776 is the number. We just got a short while left here. You see, is there any way Trey Lance is traded? Actually, John Lynch actually said, hey, we're listening. We're listening to stuff. And he said Brock Purdy's the leader in the clubhouse as far as the quarterback goes, and starting quarterback in 2023.
Let's see how it plays out. Let's see how it plays out. You know, Brock Purdy had one of the highest S2 scores, had an enormous S2 score, which is a processing score that they're giving quarterbacks now. They've been giving it for about 7 years. And more than the Wonderlic, this has become a really indicative score of the aptitude of a quarterback to process quickly. You wear goggles and they show you, like, they'll show you something and you have to pick, okay, which one of these diamonds has the edge cut off of it, something like that. And you have to, it's a quick recognition, right? You process quickly, boom, 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 like a quarterback has to. And the scores on these, three of the guys who've scored the highest have been Pat Mahomes, Josh Allen, and Joe Burrow. Bryce Young had a very high score this year. I know the scores, I'm not going to say them all. I will say one of the quarterbacks had a low one. Two of them had high, one of them had okay. But Bryce had a really high one. Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, and
Joe Burrow.
And Joe Burrow. They all had very high scores. Brock Purdy had a really high score also, which is now the owners, I had a friend who spoke to the guys who created it, and they said, just because you have a high score doesn't mean you're going to be a good quarterback, obviously. However, it is interesting to note that Brock Purdy had a really high S2 score. And this is processing that can be used in all different athletics. All athletics, people are using this now. However, they have never in 7 years had a low-scoring quarterback become a good quarterback. Never in the time that they've done it has somebody who scored extremely low, which I don't know what that.
Just because you have a high score doesn't mean you're going to be a good quarterback.
Right.
But if you don't, if you have
but
a low score.
But if you have a low score, they have not become good quarterbacks up to this point. Mm. So this is the new test you're going to hear. I don't think Wonderlic is going to matter as much as. And this should be the test, right? This is a process. This is a true processing test where you have to react quickly to what you see quickly. This is one has nothing to do with mental, has nothing to do, it has to do with how quickly your brain is forced to process, how quickly are you doing it. It's more football relative. Yeah. It's more football relative.
It's not fancy book relative. Learning. No.
No. It's react. It's true read react stuff. Now, I was told that it's also important for linebackers, like several positions are important, not just quarterback, that pitchers, basketball players, it crosses spectrum and goes into. It can go outside of sports as well.
Especially point guard.
Look it up. Look up S2. If you get a chance to look up the S2 test, go do some research on it. It's really cool. I've heard about it, but I just got deeper into it this year and found out. And I thought it was interesting that Brock Purdy scored a really high score on it.
Hmm.
He's like 98th percentile or something like that.
914, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Craig DeSurf would score really high on this.
Yeah, Craig DeSurf would score really, really high. And the reason is simple. Craig DeSurf processes quickly, processes that you want to find a great deal, that you want the selection and get the vehicle that you're looking for. And you want whatever the best offer entails. And that will include big trade-in value. That will include getting all of the best finance rate, getting the best opportunity to get dealer cash back, any of the programs that are available. When Craig DeSurf and his staff are out there working with people, they're letting you run the car buying experience. If you have questions, they answer the questions. They're not going to pressure you. They're not going to stand over you like impending doom. They're simply there to help you with any questions you have, tell you about the features that the vehicles offer. And let's face it, if you go in to get a car every 5, 6, 7 years, the changes in the vehicles now are substantial. What they offer interior-wise and exterior, it's incredible. And they can alert you to every one of those features. They're out in Angleton, good people. The sales staff and the service staff stays the same year after year after year. It's a couple extra miles that you'll drive to Angleton, but it's worth it with a couple thousand dollars in your pocket of savings and a great sales experience. Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC.
ESPN 97.5. The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
You know, we keep on talking about, and the Rockets looked like they were bad last night again, and second half. They just – the opposing teams just go on runs, and the Rockets just – it feels like they just let them just open the door. When they won that three games in a row, it was like there were some Steven Silas truthers that were like, got to keep the coach. Oh, my gosh. If they keep the coach after this season, then there's really – they really, really don't care there. They just don't care there if they keep Steven Silas. There's a guy, though. We've been talking about a guy. How about this? Jaylen Brown does not seem like he's happy. Jaylen Brown is not happy in Boston. Here's Jaylen Brown talking about his –
well, come on then.
His time right now in Boston.
Jaylen, fans gave you a pretty loud ovation in the fourth quarter coming out. In the light of your recent comments about your future here, did that mean a little more?
I just come out every day and just do my job. That's all I'm focused on.
He has said he doesn't like – Boston fans are racist. Boston fans are ugly. I don't think he wants to be in Boston. Would you?
Absolutely.
What do you give
up? Well, you're saying Rockets. Well, yeah. I'm having a hard conversation about that. I'd be willing to give up Jaylen Green.
I mean, Jaylen Brown, there's no reason to think that Jaylen Green is as good as Jaylen Brown.
No.
No.
And Jaylen Green's got great upside. This is not a commentary on Jaylen Green. I'm just saying, Jayon Brown's been there. He's done that. I don't know about everything behind the scenes.
Jaylen Brown is better.
But Jaylen Brown he became the player. He's not on the process, on the road. We hope so. He's the guy. He is the guy. He's the number one. Same way that James Harden was the number one, just on a team that he couldn't be the number one when he was with Oklahoma City, but he was the number one. To me, you bring Jaylen Brown in, and this is the same thing. It's the same thing.
And you're out of, you know what, well, you got to pay him, okay? So you're paying him more than you would have to pay.
Now, the problem is you can't make, I don't know, to make the salaries match would be incredibly difficult.
No, 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 that would be the difficult part, is making salaries match with Jaylen Brown. And what you'd have to give up. You have to do a three-team trade, right, or something, some kind of way. But you're out of all the stupid money, right? You're out of James Harden's $40 million contract. You're out of John Wall's $40 million contract. All that stuff, all that stupid stuff that's dead money, that's going to be done, right? That's all that is in the past. You got to pay somebody some money. Mm-hmm. You're still on all of these rookie contracts that you got. I wouldn't be, I don't know. They'll probably be like, no, you don't give up Jaylen Green. Is Jaylen Green as good as Jaylen Brown? No. The answer is no, he's not. He's just not. And Jaylen Brown is an established player. I would prefer giving up Kevin Porter and Garuba. And
yeah, you want to throw the trash at him.
I don't want to throw
the trash. I'm not calling him trash, but it's a trash trade. I mean, you want to do what every fan does. I want to get the best player possible for the least amount possible. I'm trying to make it hurt. So you're going to have to give up a future first, Jaylen Green, as part of a deal. Would you do that? A future first and Jaylen Green, and you have to get a third team involved. I don't even like – you don't even have salary. Who do you have – do you have anyone on the books who has salary you can even try to match? Like, I'm not sure how you would do this.
I don't know how you do this either. Hell yeah, says Childish Altuve. Brown and Udoka in 2023.
I wouldn't mind. I don't know what Udoka did, so apparently it's really bad. I don't know. Yeah. Matt Barnes, of all people, came out and went, oh, this is not good. You guys need to find out what happened. So,
no,
but I just know from a basketball standpoint, the two names I hear, Nick Nurse and Udoka, I mean, I'd be good with either one from a basketball standpoint. I'm just telling you that.
Yeah, just hide your women.
Yeah, I don't know all the Udoka stuff. I don't know how bad it got.
I don't know that either. But is Jaylen Brown a vibe, though? That's a question.
Now, that's a fair question. I think he could be a vibe. Maybe if we did less vibing and more
basketball,
defending the rim. If there was less vibes and more, you know, weak side help.
What are his nails like?
I'm assuming trimmed and taken care of. I didn't say polished. I don't know. But, I mean, listen, I love all the vibes also. But if we had less vibes and better offensive rebounding, you know, I mean, we could always play this and still let that suffice.
Yeah, but I don't think Jaylen Brown has the same Jaylen Green vibe.
No, I'm not saying he does.
No.
There's no way he does.
I mean, you're going to lose vibe.
Yeah, but we might pick something up in field goal percentage.
But vibe.
Yeah, okay. So we lose vibe and our three-point percentage gets better. If you lose KPJ, your turnover to assist numbers may get a little bit better and you may lose even more vibe. I don't know. I mean, there's going to have to be a sliding scale.
Yeah.
I recognize that. If you get
you're going to lose something, no question. But you gain. Right. What is the risk reward here?
So,
is there a chance good basketball?
Is there a chance that Scoot Henderson's going to be a better pro than Wimby? I know Wimby's the generational guy and all that stuff. There's a picture of Wimby, and I know it's 2 years ago. It's Chet Holmgren, maybe even 3 years ago, where Chet Holmgren's standing next to Wimby, and somehow Wembanyama's arms are smaller than Chet Holmgren's. It's astonishing. I didn't think it was possible, humanly possible. And both of those guys have gotten older and grown into their bodies more. But
his calves and his ankles.
They're not big. But is there a chance that Scoot, even though one guy is considered to be generational, when I say generational, Jordan, LeBron, Wembanyama. I'm not messing around with generational. Dame Lillard's generational. People love to throw generational. I'll tell you right now, Luke Kuechly is generational. Lamar's generational. This guy's generational. Jalen's generational. Generational should be, it should really be tight, 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 tight.
Well, Zion was a generational guy. And, you know, he's part of this generation that just sits around and doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Except they don't want you to kill their vibe.
Well,
but if you want generational, I think Scoot could give you vibes and
actually,
I think that team could be. This is why, as long as we're in the top two, I'm good with it.
Yeah, if you're outside the top two,
he's a really good player. Yeah. I just want Wembanyama or Scoot Henderson. That's it. Last year, I wanted, 2 years ago, I wanted the top two so we could avoid that skinny guy Mobley. Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh. I don't want that skinny guy. Give me my skinny guy. By the way, I didn't want that skinny guy. Give me Jaylen Green skinny guy. Although Jaylen has gained some weight and gotten a little bit bigger. Like, he's grown into his frame some. He's always going to be short. I mean, not short, but just going to be a little bit lean.
Listen, Victor, we've seen skinny. We've seen Chet Holmgren. Now, Kevin Durant's becoming brittle as well now. I mean,
Late in his career,
yeah.
He hung around. I mean, this is when players start to break down anyway. So, yeah. But yeah, if you don't look at Kevin Durant's health issues and start saying, this is probably going to be
default. That Charles Barkley thing I sent you with Kevin Durant? It's in your. Speaking of which, Charles and Kevin Durant are going at it again.
What is it this time?
It's the same thing. And Kevin Durant is none too pleased with Charles Barkley. Charles said, he's very sensitive. Great player. He's part of that generation who think he can't be criticized. He's never looked in the mirror and says, man, is that a fair criticism? And Kevin Durant tweeted, this ain't getting tiring, Chuck. I'll never respect the words that come out of your mouth, fam. Just deal with it. And the guy brings up a good point. You care enough to respond, man. He's obviously bothers you a little bit, like at the very least. And Kevin Durant says, I'm not going to lie. I'd be bothered by NBA greats that are jealous of the generations that come after them. That's just me, though. Is it true? Is Kevin Durant, does he have any? I don't believe Kevin Durant has anything to prove, if you want to know the truth. I don't think Kevin Durant is going to go down as a really great player. Kevin Durant's going to be a Hall of Famer. Kevin Durant has got championships, right? It's fine. What does Kevin Durant have to prove to you, Chuck? Chuck, honestly, coming out of Charles Barkley's mouth, until he wins a championship as the best player on the team, then you're criticizing him? Chuck, you were the best player on three teams and didn't win any championships.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Kevin Durant doesn't have anything to prove to anybody, I don't believe. Hey, Kevin Durant's a great player. Kevin Durant's been a great player.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, I think that's a little unfair. Kevin Durant, yeah, he moved. Did he want to go win a championship? Did he leave his team and go join the team that beat him? Yeah. Did they start a super team? Yeah. Did they win without him? Yeah. But they won with him, too. They won.
Well.
And wherever he goes, he makes that team better. Look,
Charles Barkley was sensitive to criticism, too, when he is in the league.
Yeah.
A lot of people are. Kevin is, too. I think some of this, the criticism is overly sensitive. Like you, it's hard. You know, I deal with players all the time who are sensitive about any criticism, meaning my job is I got to come up with strengths and weaknesses. Some things are weaknesses and some things are areas of improvement. So I don't love the phrase. And the players don't care about the strengths. They don't even care what my bottom line says. I could say they're a future Pro Bowler and all they're going to focus on is anything that I had in the weaknesses category. But some guys actually take it fine. Brock Purdy was one of them. Now, Brock Purdy was a seventh rounder, and Brock Purdy was asked about it, and I'm sure this writer was hoping that he would say that about my, you know, this guy's an idiot, he didn't know quarterback play, and Brock Purdy said, yeah, you know, a lot of the stuff he wrote was all out there on tape, like it was real. I had those issues, and I worked, you know, I just set about working to improve myself because my last 2 years of tape weren't good. And that's all he did. I mean, he took it. He was honest with himself. Kevin Durant, the criticisms around Kevin Durant are not going to be about how great he is or his greatness. They'll be. Everybody is a little thin-skinned at times. Some people aren't, but it's impossible to say you're not, because you are going to be.
No.
Like everyone gets bothered by criticism. At some point, you kind of have to set it aside. Like, I don't care what people say anymore about radio stuff. You don't like the show, you don't have to listen.
That's all.
I don't really care that much. I don't care about the draft. Like, I have fun going back and forth with people on mock draft stuff. Yeah. People, why are you getting it into it with them? I'm having fun. Like, I'm messing with them. Yeah. It actually is. I'm entertaining myself a lot of times when I do that. It's not a thing where I'm going back and forth. A lot of times I'm just busting back on them because they think they can just randomly say something, yeah, and I won't clap back, and they hate it.
Oh, no,
if
no,
I clap
no.
back at them.
So, oh look, it's Dream Shake Johnny. No, listen. Oh, Kevin Durant's been is a great player.
He is.
We can stop. I mean, yeah, he joined another team. Yeah, so what? So he a lot of guys, the LeBron did. As LeBron, everybody just lauding LeBron. LeBron went and started his own super team, and he gets criticized for it. Is he not a great player? Yes, he's a great player. And so is Kevin Durant. Dell, okay? Yeah, if you don't think Kevin Durant is a great player, then you're just stupid. That's all I think. That's what I'm saying. Dell, okay? I mean, I'm not aiming it directly at Dell, but I am, kind of, because, well, I've told him that before anyway, haven't I? Yeah, I have. Hey, listen, you know what else Dell doesn't like? Golf. And you know what Dell's not going to like? When we're out at the Chevron Championship, it's the first major of the season. I can't wait. I can't wait. They are such good players. They are really, really good players. I mean, I watch a lot of golf. I love golf. And I'm going to tell you what, the women's game, unlike some other sports, you get it's you know that women's sports they're just not as watchable. And women's golf is very watchable, and it's going to be very watchable live and in person at the Nicklaus Course at Carlton Woods. The Nicklaus Course at Carlton Woods is beautiful. If you've never been there, it's one of the best courses, private or public, in the city of Houston. It literally is, and it is awesome. And you are going to love it if you haven't. It's a private club, so a lot of people can't play, but you can go and watch over there, and you can see the Chevron Championship, which is going to be great. It is going to be difficult for them, but they are such good players. You're going to see great shots. You're going to see really great golf. It's more like the golf that we play, guys, than the men. We ain't hitting no 423-yard drives, okay, and then chipping around the green like these guys do. We're more like, honestly, we hit it more like the women do, and you can relate much, much better. So if you're looking for great, great golf, if you love golf, even if you don't, you're going to see great competition. Tickets available now at thechevronchampionship.com, thechevronchampionship.com.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
The Bench!
Tell them again!
The Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait!
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, this is our segment, Did They Really Say That? We're going to start with J.R. Smith. J.R. Smith, we know who J.R. Smith is, right? J.R. Smith is a bomber. J.R. Smith is a wild man. J.R. Smith, you could count on him to take it. He was a black hole, right? Ball went in, didn't come out, right?
Yeah.
Here's J.R. Smith on LeBron's scoring record.
Do you think if you took as many shots as LeBron in your career, you would have the scoring record?
Yeah, for sure.
No way he said that.
He said that, yeah. Yep. Andy Reid, the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, when asked about, I don't know why. Why is he being asked about Jordan Love? He was asked about Jordan Love. Here's Andy Reid.
What did you think of Jordan Love in that quarter, one by up in the game that he played against you, what was that, 2 years ago?
Who's that?
Jordan Love.
Jordan Love.
Packers, he started that game when Rodgers missed it because of COVID.
Oh, yes, absolutely, yeah. No, I thought he was good.
From what I remember, I thought it was good.
Now, in all fairness, Andy Reid studies defenses. He probably, in that game plan, and while Jordan Love was on the field against him, he's probably talking to Pat Mahomes. He's not really paying attention to Jordan Love.
I would have thought in the game plan, like, he's a head coach. I would have thought he would remember.
Yeah, but he's...
And they're not really looking at quarterbacks.
No.
So even in the draft process, they're not, hey, Andy, I want you to come look at this kid that
now,
we've got from Jordan Love from
Aaron
Utah
Rodgers,
State.
Who's that? Who's Aaron Rodgers? But not, you know, Jordan Love did play against him. And, oh, by the way, when Jordan Love was coming out, he probably should have studied him.
Yeah.
Right?
Well.
Unless he already had Pat Mahomes,
But Pat Mahomes, had only been in the league, 3 years? He came out in 20, Jordan Love.
Jordan Love came out in 20, and Pat Mahomes had been out in
17.
Oh, was it 17,
18, 19? Yeah. So 20 was his fourth year.
But he wasn't looking at quarterbacks.
No.
No.
That's what I mean. Even though you look at quarterbacks a lot of times in case they're free agents.
When you got Patrick
I'm sure at that particular point he's like, I'm not looking at this Utah State quarterback. I'm not doing it.
I'm busy. I'm eating this cheeseburger instead. I'd much rather eat this cheeseburger. Then Mike McDaniel found out.
Or drawing mustaches on people's faces.
That's what he does, too.
He does that a lot.
Mike McDaniel found out how much the Washington Commanders are worth.
Wow, the organization's worth that much? And, you know, I couldn't get free coffee?
Couldn't get free coffee.
Couldn't get free coffee?
When I was with the Commanders?
I like him.
Yeah.
I just like him because he's different.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
He's just funny. I do wonder how it's gonna work when, like, he faced adversity this year and they kind of crumbled. You know, how's he gonna handle adversity? I think the players will love.
He didn't have a quarterback.
Yeah, even when he had his quarterback, he wasn't playing particularly well. Or at least one of the games I remember, and Tua played really poorly.
Yeah, he kept going down with concussions.
Well, no, I'm talking about when he was healthy. He had some games where he was really bad.
They jumped out to a great start.
Yeah, they had a great start.
Yeah,
they got off to a great start. But it's harder when things are going tougher and the locker room grouses. Like, how do you handle that? How's he going to handle that? I guess it's good that the players like you because they're more likely to be on your side a little bit. But do they respect you? Like, do they respect your authority is what I'm asking. Because it's one thing to like a coach. It's another one when he's got to step up and – have the hard comments. Do you respect his authority?
Yeah, no. Absolutely. You got to have that locker room. There's no question about that. Especially during tough times like they had. Now, this married woman, right? What is this? RJ, why don't you set this one up?
All right. So, apparently, you know, everybody goes through tough times in a relationship. Sometimes relationships end, marriages end. That's just the way of the world. However, I don't know if you would go to such catastrophic measures like one husband did with his wife.
Put a finger down if the Miami-Dade Police Department calls you and tells you that they have recovered your husband's body and he is dead by apparent suicide. So you and your family plan his funeral. And everyone is shocked that this happened. But you're on bad terms with your ex-husband's family, so you stay in California and they stay in Florida while they plan the funeral. And you don't go to the services in Florida because his family said it would be way too traumatic if you were to show up because you guys were on bad terms because you were in the middle of a divorce with your husband. So throughout this entire process, you talk to a coroner's office, you talk to a funeral home, you make arrangements, you even pay for things. And you believe that on January 22nd, your husband took his life, and it is now March. And you spend months grieving, and you even think about unaliving yourself because you feel like you're the one that did it.
Did she say
unaliving? And one day you go on live on TikTok, and someone tells you to check your DMs because they have information regarding your husband. And you open the DM only to find out that your husband is not only alive, but he is living in Mexico with his mistress of 6 years, who he's been having an affair with.
So
that's bad run.
Yeah. So 6 years, and you've only been separated from him for a short while. He's down in Mexico with his mistress. Mistress, he wanted to get away from you so bad. He faked his death.
Faked his own. You remember Ray, the freaking Puerto Rican who used to call our show?
Yeah.
You know the story on him, right?
No.
Ray Sosa? Me and Eric Layden did a podcast with him. Ray Sosa. You remember he used to call at 610? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ray, the freaking Puerto Rican. He'd call about Sosa. He would call about, boxing. He called about boxing all the time. All right. He loved the different boxers. And, well, it turns out he reached out to me and he said, hey, man, long time no talk, blah, blah, blah. It turns out that he had gotten married to a woman and the woman basically tried to hire someone to kill him. And this guy went to Ray and said, hey, I want to let you know, she tried to hire me to kill you. He's like, oh, this is after Ray... This girl came down, her grandmother, her mother came down. Well, it was about citizens. Once they got their citizenship or whatever, all of a sudden they wanted to have him killed. And he found out from somebody. He went to the FBI or the police and they set it up. They staged a death. Or the hitman, the guy said, oh, yeah, I'll do the hit. And he told the lady he would do the hit. He started working with her and say, okay, yeah, I'll do the hit. He started working with the police. And so he pretended to do it. They dug a big grave. Ray had to lay in there with his underwear on and with makeup on. A lady did makeup to look like he was dead. He showed a picture to the lady. And you can find this on. This was on like Vice. It was on, I want to say, 60 Minutes. You can go find this right now on YouTube. And he had to fake his own death.
So that the guy wore a wire and then went back to the wife and I want my money or whatever.
Well.
And she admitted it.
Yeah. And then she... You know, he had to show pictures of the death, and Ray said, honestly, I didn't think the makeup was all that good for the bullet hole and all this stuff. But yeah, she ended up going to prison behind all that. Ray found out, I'm sorry, the woman that I love and I just married, we were having some problems, but she's trying to kill me?
Well, I've got a similar story with a buddy, but it's not, that's, yeah.
Is your buddy named John Granato?
No.
Okay.
No. I'm asking for a friend.
Yeah.
I'm speaking for a friend. No, I just never understood that. Why risk going to prison for the rest of your life when you could just get divorced? I can't, oh, by the way, be a better person than killing someone. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's just me, though. All right, News of the Weird coming your way next, right? As if that wasn't weird enough. News of the Weird coming your way next, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Tournament is on. We've only got four teams left, right? You want to bet on them? Of course you do. And they got all the games, okay? You got your Final Four that's coming here. You still got NBA. You still got PGA. You got NHL, XFL. Oh, our team lost yesterday, by the way. Got lost by 11. Did you bet on them? I hope you didn't. MLS, all of those teams. My bookie has all the games, lots of player prop bets, too. You can bet on individual player points, rebounds, assists, and three-pointers. If you know your college hoops, you'll really enjoy the player prop bets. Getting started is simple. Go to mybookie.ag. Your first deposit. If you've never been on MyBookie before, your first deposit, you deposit up to $2,000, they'll give you another $1,000 to play with. $50, they'll give you $75 to play with. They're going to match half of your initial deposit. But you got to put in promo code BET975. BET975. Put in promo code BET975. Start playing and start winning. And listen, it's easy to get your money out. It's a great place to play. Easy to navigate. It's all good. You're looking for a great place to play, win, and get paid. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere. MyBookie.ag. Promo code BET975.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on The Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zerline.
All right, welcome back. Time for News of the Weird, and it does get weird here, Lance. Let me ask you a question here. Do you think that to help new students adapt, some colleges are eliminating grades? Do you feel like we should eliminate grades from our college institutions to make new students feel more comfortable? Wouldn't you have felt more comfortable if you didn't have any grades?
Well, that's the consumerism of college, right? I've been reading about this, and that's why some teachers are getting fired now, because their courses are too hard and parents are complaining. And now, because they're paying so much money for their kids to be in school, it's like, well, the customer's always right. So you better make it easier, unless you want to lose that revenue that's coming in.
Wow.
I know. That's about as bad as it gets.
No, we're making, okay, I've told you, doctors in this country, to pass they're not having grades, pass fail now.
Yeah.
As opposed to having grades to find out who the best doctors are. No, it's just pass fail so that everybody is open to get a job.
Yeah.
Not people who just barely pass.
I got news for you. You're going to anyway.
An ammo company.
And if you're barely passing, maybe you shouldn't be a doctor.
There's a real demand for artillery shells right now. There is a company, NAMO, has increased trying to increase its output, but it's unable to.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the war in Ukraine, there's a bigger demand for ammo right now. And ammo company right now is short on electricity. Do you know why?
Why?
Because of TikTok cat videos. Because their employees are using their computers to watch TikTok cat videos.
Who watches TikTok cat videos instead of TikTok dog videos?
Well, everybody.
No, everybody should be watching TikTok dog videos.
Well, I think TikTok as opposed to just cat videos.
Yeah.
But the company says, well, it's TikTok cat videos. We don't have enough electricity to make the ammo we need.
Because of your stupid TikTok cat videos.
Yep. Yep. Apparently, that is a problem. Do you want to know what? I mean, have you gotten any packages delivered by Amazon?
Mm-hmm.
They're really amazing. Like, in a day, you order from Amazon.
No, the same day. Yeah, because they have fulfillment centers here.
They're so good.
It's out in Katy, America.
They're so good. There's a video right now that's going viral of an Amazon driver who is delivering a package to a house that's in a police standoff. That's how good Amazon is.
That cannot be true.
It is true.
It's real?
He went above and beyond the job description when he was recorded on video delivering a package in the middle of a dangerous armed police standoff.
Wow.
He said,
I got to get this in.
I got to get this package in.
Hey, this isn't 30 minutes or less. Your pizza's free. You can wait.
No, Amazon is going to deliver your package.
How about I got one?
That's why Jeff Bezos is so rich.
Yeah.
Because of guys like that.
Get in there, and I don't care if there's a police standoff.
That's right.
Get the package delivered. Wind or sleet or snow. How about police standoff?
Yeah.
Can USPS do that?
No, they can't.
I guess not. I got one for you. So have you ever heard of something called the Great Depression?
Yes.
Okay, there was something called a Great Depression, John, from 1929 to 1939. Well, yes, they did.
My dad did anyway.
I wonder what they ate, because here are 10 bizarre yet popular foods that made up Depression-era cuisine.
Okay.
Are you ready? Mm-hmm. I'm going to see which one of these you think you would eat.
Okay.
You have to pick one. Prune pudding.
Okay.
That's one.
If I got to go, if I'm constipated, that's right at the top of the list.
Creamed chipped beef. It was whipped up with salted and dried beef, flour, butter, and milk before being served on a piece of toast.
I've had chipped beef before.
I would have that one. Corned beef luncheon salad.
Oh, I love that.
It's made
from corned beef.
Canned corned beef, canned corn, canned peas, gelatin, lemon juice, and vinegar. I mean, I would, you know, wouldn't be my favorite, but I would eat that. Hoover stew, which is a thin broth.
No.
Some stew.
Sounds Irish.
Sliced hot dog rounds.
No, thanks.
Cooked macaroni and canned tomatoes.
Well, in the Depression, I would have eaten it, yeah.
Would you have eaten a dandelion salad, which are just dandelions picked from your yard?
No, that's like my least favorite right now.
And then usually you added olive oil and hard-boiled eggs to it.
Well, now olive oil, okay.
Yeah.
It's getting better.
Peanut butter stuffed onions? Before you just automatically say no, onions were commonly and easily grown stored vegetables, so they were readily available and, most importantly, free. Meanwhile, peanut butter was also inexpensive, so the Bureau of Home Economics devised a recipe for peanut butter stuffed onions.
I don't know. Sounds intriguing. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I didn't think I'd hear that be considered.
Listen, if I'm hungry, I'll eat peanut butter intriguing. Stuffed onions. Yeah.
How about loaves? So some of the popular loaves were liver loaf, lima bean loaf, and peanut loaf.
Yeah.
For breads.
Yeah.
I'm not a big olive loaf. Have you had that?
No. Yeah. There's all kinds of loaves that aren't that great, and those sound not that great.
Now, I've had vinegar.
I love olive.
Have you ever had vinegar pie? It's a low-cost dessert with a pie crust filling with apple cider vinegar, flour, unsalted butter, salt, brown sugar, eggs, ground cinnamon.
So no. The answer is no.
Have you ever had one?
Dandelion salad is the least favorite. That's second.
What about and mock apple pie thing. Where there's not an actual apple in it?
No, apple pie without apples?
Yeah.
Nah, that doesn't sound that
crumbled
good.
Ritz crackers are in it?
Yeah.
Oh, no! Actually, these actually, like...
No, they're not bad.
The only... You're right. The dandelion, no. The Hoover stew with...
No.
With hot dogs in it. And it sounds like something I would have made in college.
Yeah, right.
With some broth,
absolutely.
Canned tomatoes, canned corn. You're throwing whatever in there.
Yeah, depression, absolutely.
Prune pudding, I'm probably not eating.
No, unless I got to go. And unless I'm constipated. All right, we're done. Paul Gallant is next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Hope you enjoyed the show. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, everybody. Have a great day.
She's the queen, and we're the sorry people.
Wheel. Fun. Sports. ESPN 97.5.